This is Album Worms. It's like a book club, but for albums. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris. And on this episode, we'll be discussing our top albums of 2023.
Let's get started. Welcome to Album Worms. Welcome to another episode of Album Worms. Please take a moment and subscribe to us wherever you find your podcasts and follow us on Instagram at Album Worms. Chris,
Sean,
you might not be consistent with this, but we are here and we are doing this.
You know what? I mean, it happens, you know? Yeah. It's life, you know? Things happen. So,
right.
We're doing this, so yeah.
We're well into 2024, but we are still processing 2023, here to talk about our top records, and I couldn't be more stoked.
Yes, I'm very excited.
And Stuart's actually, he went to the Bahamas last I heard, and I think he just got back last week, so it's very convenient. We got him back in here just in time.
Yeah, he took like a 3-month vacation. It was crazy.
A sabbatical, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Tan looks great.
Yeah. And yeah. And for those that don't know, haven't listened to Album Worms before, Stuart's our fictional intern. He's been with us for probably half of our lifespan of Album Worms. So
I'd say
he's a good mate.
Yeah, great.
Well, we've got some rust to shake off here, but I'm ready to do it and I'm excited. I think we can keep this pretty casual, but talk about our top five favorite records of the year. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Cool. So once again, today we are going to be discussing our favorite albums of 2023. These lists are always, I mean, we're a little bit removed because we didn't do it in like the prototypical December timeline of when everyone else is doing their list.
We like to be different. Okay. We don't conform to norms.
Yeah. Here. It takes us, I mean, we both have ADHD. It takes us a while to process.
Especially two guys that have a love for music.
Yeah.
Talking about music, especially albums. Top five was kind of difficult for me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of challenging because to put one record ahead of another, and I mean, all these lists are kind of bogus because it's just opinionated, and there's no official way to do this. But the way I personally like to do this is I like to think about what are the records I got the most enjoyment out of, and that's really the core base root question that I try to use when I'm thinking about those albums to pick out.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, for me, it was the ones I found kind of the most interesting that I didn't really kind of think I would listen to a lot of. And then it was kind of a couple that I found myself, as soon as it came out, it was in my rotation for the rest of the year.
Right. Yeah. That longevity part of it, I think, is pretty interesting too, because some records are great, but they don't necessarily stick in your rotation. So yeah, when you think about, when I'm looking at the list of albums that I picked out, all of them have long lasting longevity. So I think that's like maybe the second thing that I think of is like, what are the records that I'm going to be listening to in 5-10 years and still going back to these albums. And I think these all have that potential.
Yeah, I would agree. I would definitely, because that's kind of how I took this, was like ones that didn't get old for me.
Right.
That's kind of how I did it. And then there's just kind of a couple in there that were kind of obscure that I liked, that I didn't really kind of was like, oh shoot, I listened to this a lot. So I put it in.
Do you check out all those like Spotify Wrapped, or do you do last.fm, or do you track like what you listen to?
I do it through the Spotify. It's just easier because I use that so much.
Yeah,
it's kind of funny to see how much you listen to of one thing.
Yeah, I like those like year in rap stuff. Spotify's ones, I think, okay. I do like it when I'm like in the top 1% of listeners for a band that I really like. Which, and did you get in my Spotify Wrapped? I got like a special message from Jeff Tweedy thanking people for, I guess, some of the top listeners, like for listening to the new album or
music
in general.
I forget which artist it was that did that, but it was like one of the top 1% of listeners or something like that, top 5%. I thought that was kind of cool that they did stuff like that.
Yeah. Overall, though, I've had my music connected to last.fm, I think, since 2008 or somewhere in that range.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's really so pretty cool. Awesome to see music trends or like what artists I've listened to for a lot of years now.
That's cool.
So yeah, that one I will try to upkeep as much. So I do love tracking that type of stuff, which is part of this, which is also, I think, a good way to remember artists that you forgot about sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I used to use last.fm for the same reason, because it tracked everything, because I'm such a spaz with music.
Well, let's talk some records here. Do you want to kick us off with your number 5 pick?
Yeah, so I would say kind of my number 5 would be the Menzingers. Kind of like a punk, indie punk band. And it's called Some of It Was True. And that came out in October. And it's just really catchy songs, really good lyrics to this record, kind of about heartbreak, and, you know, sometimes we all go through that. So this record, when it came out, kind of hit me, and just kind of really enjoyed it all year. Well, October through the rest of the year, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Some of these came out in October. I mean, been able to sit with it for some time, but they're still babies when you think about it, in the real world of music and longevity. 5 months isn't that long.
No.
Is there a track Stuart could pull up for us?
I really enjoy Come On Heartache.
Come On Heartache. All right. Let's give that a listen. I want to check this out. Yeah, that record wasn't on my radar for whatever reason. Kind of felt a little Jason Isbell-esque in the 400 unit.
Yeah, they're fun. It's kind of cool from the beginning of their music career, kind of seeing the progression of their music,
mm-hmm.
kind of forming into this.
So, right.
Yeah, it was one of those I found myself listening to a ton once it came out.
You definitely don't get punk initially from that track at least.
Yeah, and that song's a little bit on the softer side.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. What about you? Would you pick for your fifth?
So obviously this is, without saying, hard to pick an order here, but in my fifth spot, I am going to go with Sufjan Stevens and his record Javelin.
That's great.
And it's his 10th studio album. Can you believe that?
Wow.
It was also released in October, so October 6th of 2023. And the reason why it's on my list is it really, I feel like, just encapsulates Sufjan's career. It kind of has the return of that like wispy, floaty orchestral arrangements, but it then has like those haunting singer-songwriter, just depressing moments of Carrie Ann Lowell. Mm-hmm. And then it has some of the electronic flavors from Asia Voss and his later music as well. So it really, I think, just blends everything perfectly. It's a really great record. I think I'll have Stuart play So You Are Tired. For fun, I was the man still in love with you, when I already knew it was done. Yeah, you can really, in that little clip, you really can kind of pick up that wispy, I feel like, floating orchestral arrangements that we haven't gotten from Sufjan in a while. So it was kind of great to hear a return to some of that in his music.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this record too, for that reason of just kind of, I felt the record just kind of flowed very easily, and it was something I could always just put on if I was doing something,
right,
you know, work or whatever, and just kind of have it play in the background, nice and soothing. Yeah, I really enjoyed this album.
Yeah, I think the flow of it is just, it just sounds like a record you play from start to finish. I think maybe the reason why I wouldn't rank this as like my favorite Sufjan record by any means. It's certainly, it's probably like fourth or fifth, maybe. I'd have to look at all of them again. And not to say, obviously, it's one of my top records, but comparatively to those records, I don't feel like there's necessarily like a standout hit or a couple of hits on this record. They're just all very solid flow and sets the mood type thing. So as far as like, would I pull these songs to put into a playlist? I don't know. I feel like I listened to this record from start to finish because it's got everything I want in that mood.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you knew this too, right when he went to release this record, well, one, he was recovering from his partner passing away, and that being part of, I think, influencing some of the very somber tones in this record. But then right, I think after he finished recording, he came down with Guillain-Barré syndrome. Am I saying that right?
I think so. That's how I'd say it.
Yeah. But it's a rare autoimmune disorder. He barely could walk. I believe from what I've seen or heard, or he's recovering.
Good.
But yeah, kind of, I don't think he got to promote it, this record, the way that he was hoping to to that. So hopefully he gets a speedy recovery and we see him definitely. Out on the road, because I think these songs would be pretty awesome live.
I would have to agree. I'd love to see these played live. I've never seen him, so
oh,
I think
man.
That's definitely probably someone I should see whenever I can.
Yes. Yeah, if you ever get the opportunity, run, don't walk.
Skip. I prefer to skip.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I saw him during the Age of Oz tour.
Oh, cool.
And it was so awesome. Still one of my favorite shows.
That's cool.
All right. Let's go to pick number four.
All right. Well, definitely last year kind of got into this soul and R&B phase. Okay. Kind of listening to a lot of like newer groups and newer acts. And one guy that really stood out to me, one musician, his name's Jason Joshua, and he's from Miami, Florida. His music is kind of like Latin soul, really cool. And the album that came out last year was La Voz de Oro, which is like, I think the Golden Voice is what that means. And that's his nickname, I think, is the Golden Voice.
Oh, nice.
Super cool. Go ahead and play that first song, which is the title track.
All right, Stuart. Here
Stuart,
you go.
Please. Take your time, Stuart. You're on vacation for 3 months, and now it's, you know.
Oh, he got it. He got it.
There we go.
That really speaks to the quarter Cuban part of me.
Right? There's just something about that music, man. Like, whenever I hear it, it puts me in a good mood. Last year, I found out about his music, and I love it. So, it's kind of one of those. Definitely recommend people checking out his music. He's got two or three records, I think.
Yeah, it looks like two.
Yeah, and a bunch of singles and stuff. So
yeah,
that's kind of my fourth choice. With that, once again, his music was in heavy rotation. And I think it came out in March. End of March. So
that
it's kind of one
sense.
Of those.
I think I remember listening to this in your car when I was out in Denver last year. So
probably, that sounds about right. That might even have been in my, like, I might have talked about him in a previous episode. Just really like his music.
Right. Yeah, I think that would make sense.
Love a good horn section, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to go a similar route with my fourth pick, too. Because
shoot it. Go for it.
In several different ways, because I think I've talked about this person on my podcast before. His debut record was in my top five list of 2020. And this record is going to come in at number four. And that is Trey Burt and his record Traffic Fiction. I think this record probably surprised me. One of the biggest surprises of the year for me, because his earlier work is very much just singer-songwriter, barely kind of Dylan-esque folk. And I'm just going to play you the first track on this record, as this was kind of, you can understand my reaction to this when I was anticipating some more like folky type music.
let me ride to the end till I have my fun. Let me roll till I can't no more. Down the last empty road under blue sky.
So he really infused some more soul music into his third album release, and that was the title track Traffic Fiction. And this was released October 6th as well. So yeah, unless this I got my dates wrong for some reason, this came out the same week as the Sufjan record.
Oh, cool. Nice.
This record was actually a tribute to his grandfather that had recently passed away, and he was way into soul music, and he, I guess, was falling into dementia, and he started recording like audio clips with him.
That's cool.
And one of the audio clips is how the record starts, and I guess they were potentially listening to Stevie Wonder during it. So the track is called Play Stevie Wonder, and it's him talking to his grandpa, and then that leads into the record.
That is cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to listen to this.
Yeah, it's a really rad record, and none of these tracks miss. They're all super solid, and that mix of folk and soul was a perfect marriage. So I hope this is the flavor of music he continues with, because I loved his old records, but this is just something a little bit newer and fresher that I think really fits his voice style perfectly. So
that's cool.
Big fan.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give this a listen. I wrote it down.
Awesome. On to number three. Here we go.
All right. This might kind of throw people for a loop, but my number three would be Gorillaz. Cracker Ooh. Island came out in February the 24th, and just a really cool album. The song Oil features one Stevie Nicks that most people probably know from Fleetwood Mac. It's a really catchy song. I really enjoy that song. I think you kind of know what you're getting with Gorillaz, you know, kind of dancey, some electronic, some hip hop, some rock. Yeah.
I don't know if I listened to this. So should we get Stuart to play Oil?
Yes, I would love that, Stuart.
All right.
It's so cool, man. Her voice is...
Yeah. All right. That is certainly a surprise pick.
Yeah.
I see Thundercat was on here. Do you see Thundercat on Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm telling you, man, this record's just full of really, I mean, you've got, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's worth a listen.
I'll tab it for a listen. I probably was off my radar because I think I saw Gorillaz Coachella many years ago, and they were probably one of the most disappointing bands that I've seen live.
And
I think part of that too is I was so hyped to see them because I heard their live show is absolutely amazing, and apparently that was the first year that they decided to play. Like, I guess before that they would never show their face on the stage. They had like all this huge like animation, and they decided to get rid of that and just play as a band. I was like so disappointed. I'm like, all that sounded so cool. That's what I wanted to see. So it kind of ruined my expectations were just different. So but ever since then, I was like, Gorillaz. But I'll give that a listen. That's definitely a cool pick you brought to the table there.
Yeah, and the song with Tame Impala, which mm-hmm. is another fantastic band, is also a really good song.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just kind of one of those that I saw pop up on my radar, and I was like, oh, they came out with another album, and ended up actually really enjoying it.
Well, my third pick was a band that wasn't really on my radar. I mean, I've heard the band before. So my pick is Cutworms, and it's their self-titled record. But I don't remember, I maybe listened to the records before, but then I heard that this record was good. So I checked it out and just fell in love with this record. And I'll have Stuart play Ballad of the Texas Keen so we can get a flavor for this. Yeah, so the whole record is kind of just infused with that feel good, just a kind of classic rock Beach Boys type vibe.
Yeah,
it feels like the like a golden era type record for sure.
It really does. I like the harmonies, and it's another one I'm not familiar with, so definitely put this in the queue to listen to.
Yeah, like the track, Is It Magic? Like, I'll pull this up. Let's see if we can find this. This is like very Beach Boys, this one.
Ooh. Oh my God, yeah. Oh man, the harmonies. If you don't know now, then never
mind. Yeah, so good.
Ooh, I like this.
And then that's a record. So the senior songwriter behind Cutworms, his name's is Max Clark, and he, from my understanding, produced this record too. They like,
cool.
So he's really, I think, from what I was reading, he took a little bit more of a stripped down approach to his recording to make it easier to play live, and I think it ended up being a better result. I'm not as familiar with his other records. This is his third release, so I still need to go back to listen to get more familiar, but this record's been heavy rotation and certainly challenge for number two spot, number one spot, even like this really gets nitpicky with what record I would have put in that top spot. This one, I think, is the I'll be listening to it in that 5-10 years. This one's a keeper for sure.
Yeah, I look forward to listening to this.
Yeah, he's had some cool people on the record too. So like the are familiar with the Lemon Twigs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those two brothers were on this record, and
oh, cool.
Someone from Florist was on this record. So some good people helping this out too. And yeah, Lemon Twigs was also another kind of retro band that had another great record that came out in 2023 as well. So it's another one for people to check out.
Definitely. I will. I just wrote it down.
Cool. Let's go to number two.
So the last two albums, I kind of were difficult for me because I found I listened to them both quite a lot. But I think my second favorite album of the year was City in Color, came out with a record called The Love Still Held Me Near.
Mm-hmm.
I think once again, you kind of know what you're getting with, you know, City in Color, some kind of alt country rock, indie right. music, but his voice, Dallas Green's voice, is just unreal. Maybe we can have, let's see, let's have Stewart play The Love Still Held Me Near. That's was probably one of my favorite tracks on the record.
Solid.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing really, you know, it's a great record. I can listen to it from the first song to the last song. It's a really good record.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of my favorite records of his.
I definitely think it's like one of the more like intricate records. Like there's a lot going on in the record, like in the songs, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's another great lyricist. And yeah, his voice, he's such a great singer.
The problem with City in Color, I don't know if you're aware that they have a problem or not, but that they have, in my opinion, a problem. And the problem is they wrote a record called Bring Me Your Love, which is almost perfect.
Dang near a perfect record.
It's a dang near perfect record. So everything compared to Bring Me Your Love, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. That record's fantastic. But this, to me, this is more of like a full band
right
record.
Yeah, like, I think know, since they've converted to be more that full band, this is my favorite one for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree 100% with that. I feel like the musicians he brought in to play with him and his touring musicians, like they're all in their own right, fantastic musicians, amazing musicians. So it's kind of cool to see that in a record that he puts out. Cause you know, his earlier stuff was a lot more acoustic. And then I think what Little Hell was kind of the first record where there was a little more live like band.
Uh-huh. Right.
With him, because I think the first couple, 2-3 records he put out were a lot more acoustic.
Yeah, he was like the only person on that record, right?
Yeah, one of them, or like, I think he might have had another guitar player or something play with him, but yeah, definitely not as intricate with a full band. I don't know, I really enjoy the band. So that was my number two pick. What about yours?
I am going with one that we have talked about on this show before, and that is The Arcs. And potentially, I mean, I guess you could argue if this is a 2023 record or not, because a lot of this was written quite some time ago when Richard Swift was still alive. And they kind of went back. I think they released one record. So for those that don't know, this is a side project of Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. He started this band with a few of his friends back in 2015. The drummer was Richard Swift. He tragically passed away. We've talked about that a few times. It's impacted several different artists, including people like Nathaniel Rateliff. He produced, I think, Rateliff's first record or second record.
One of the first.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this record was written in 2018 when he was still alive, or around that time frame. So they went back and finished it. So you still have drum parts that are Richard Swift on this record.
Oh, cool.
Which I think is pretty cool. Makes me a little sad that we might not get any more arcs, because I think they were just trying to put a end cap on this and put it out there and really have Richard Swift's, some of his work still recognized and being able to be enjoyed. One of the cool things about the artwork is they have kind of like a lighter onto the side, and it has Swift's name on it.
That's really cool.
As a little nod to him. But this record is so groovy. It's got killer drum beats and just awesome guitar licks, and have Stewart play Heaven as a Place so we can get a taste of this.
Thinking of you, depressing when you leave me, baby. I was on the outside, you invited me inside, girl. You let me into your world, didn't you? Oh, yeah.
I love that. That song, this record, yeah. So good. I don't know if I don't think I mentioned, but the name of the record, Electrophonic Chronic, came out January 27th of 2023. So this one we've had for a little bit of time now. And I know we talked about this record, but do you get to sit with it at all?
A little bit. Yeah, it's great. It's one of those kind of Dan Auerbach sounds, you know what I mean? He's kind of got this sound with the Black Keys and a lot of the stuff he's involved with, and I love it. It's kind of just got that kind of bluesy feel to it, but very electronic and kind of fun, just different. Yeah, I really enjoyed this record.
I saw this like one YouTube video of Dan Auerbach with his Black Keys bandmate and a few, I think, people from the Arcs. They all like to spin at clubs and stuff every now and then, or like randomly.
I got a fun little story for you about that.
Yeah, I was bringing this up because I think you've potentially seen them, right? Or
I've seen them. So Nathaniel Rateliff, for those of you who don't know, I don't know if he's a Denver native, but he lives here in Denver, I think, for quite a while. And he is the owner or part owners of a bar called Skylark.
Mm-hmm.
And so back to Dan Auerbach, owns a record label called, is it Big Eye or Third Eye or something? What's his, anyway?
I think it's Third Eye. That sounds
something like that, right?
Yeah.
And, they have this band called Hermanos Gutierrez, who I know I've talked about on past episode or two. And they played a show in Boulder last year, early March, May, something mm-hmm. like that. And then they played records. They spun records at Skylark, which Nathaniel Rateliff played a few songs on guitar with the two brothers, and then they spun records at Skylark all night. So that was kind of fun. Dan was there, the drummer of Black Keys was there, and a bunch of other guys. So it was kind of fun to see them spinning soul records all night. So it's,
yeah,
kind of cool.
Yeah, so yeah, I want to bring, so like this YouTube video, they're all like obsessed with 45s.
Yep, that's all they spun.
And so they search for them, they trade them with each other. And
that's cool. That's really
Dan
cool.
Dan is like way into the soul side of it, which is pretty epic. And what I feel like we're both feeling that type of music lately. And I guess each guy kind of has these different kind of flavors, but some of that music is like only exists on these 45, and then they're like going on eBay trying to find or discover these random.
It's really cool.
Acts. So yeah, I guess if we had the means that they did, we would probably be doing similar things.
I'd love to do it. There's a club. It's called Mile High Soul Club. Yeah. And they play at a venue or a bar. They play at like a nightclub. I think it's the first Friday of every month. And it's same thing, all 45s. And it's soul music, soul and R&B. Super cool.
Before we get to our top pick, should we mention some honorable mentions that we won't have as much time to talk about, but worth noting here?
Sure. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I can throw some out. I think one that just nearly made my list was Jess Williamson's record, Time Accidental. Okay. Really enjoyed that one. I think Wilco's release was solid. Local Natives' release was solid. I enjoyed St. Paul and the Broken Bones record.
Yep. I had that one written down.
Yeah. I think the one that's on my list that probably got the most recognition was Boy Genius.
Yeah. Yep.
It wasn't Drake's new album, no, but I'm sure it was great.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, so a few others, Cat Clyde's record, Tennis's record came out earlier in the year, and I really enjoyed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Rap Boys, I think, was one of the newer bands that I learned about and really enjoyed. They had a record called The Window, so that was awesome. Yeah, and I mean, I could keep going. So a lot of these you told me about, so I guess I'll let you mention some of those, but yeah, I'll leave it at those.
Yeah, I mean, I only had written down a couple that I kind of enjoyed. Kind of more on the countryside. His name's Vincent Neil Emerson.
Mm.
And the record's called The Golden Crystal Kingdom. There's a song that I really, really enjoy on that. I'll Meet You in Montana. Really great song. He's a great musician. His live shows are super fun. They get a little rowdy. Definitely kind of recommend checking his stuff out if you kind of want some just good old
kind of. What's rowdy look like at a show like this?
Oh, you know, people just having a good time, you know? He's just a really good performer. I don't know. You know,
I mean, we used to go to hardcore shows, so I was
definitely
like,
not like that. But, you know, the crowd's getting into it and hollering and
kind of like a William Elliott Whitmore type vibe.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. People really get into that type of.
Yeah, show. It's just good country music. He's just a great lyricist for being a. It's good. It's good music. Good music. Title. Totally would recommend that one. Blur came out with a record.
All right.
Which kind of makes sense since, you know, Gorillaz and whatnot. I think it's The Ballad of Darren is the name of the record. Pale J is another guy. It's kind of like hip hop, soul, R&B. It's kind of cool. He wears a red ski mask. Really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. Really good music, catchy stuff I can listen to, you know, on the background if I'm doing something. So yeah, those were kind of the couple I had kind of just written down as honorable mentions. Like, it's kind of, like you said, a really hard to pick.
Yeah, it was a great year for music.
Yeah, it was, you know, looking back, and that's kind of why I enjoy doing these. As I'm looking back, you kind of realize, like, oh, man, I wasn't expecting, there wasn't anything crazy that really came out. And then I'm like, as I'm looking, that was a great record. That was, didn't the Foo Fighters come out with something?
Yeah.
You know, there was just a lot of really good music that came out last year. I mean, there's just a lot. So, yeah, that was kind of, those are my honorable mentions.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let's get to number one.
That sounds good. And it's hard to say favorite. All of these records I really enjoyed. But the one I found that I was listening to the most was this really, really good musician from San Francisco, Logan Ledger. I think I've mentioned the record in a past episode.
Yes. Yeah. This would have been an honorable mention for me, but since you told me about it on one of our episodes in 2023. So, yeah.
Golden State is the album. And that came out in, I think, September 8th. Once again, kind of country influenced. But for me, it's his voice. His voice is just amazing. So if Stewart could play the title track, Golden State, that would be wonderful.
But you know I have to wait till I reach that golden state, till you reach the golden state, till you reach. I've been across the desert and the mountains so high, seems like the road I'm on don't ever end. And it's hard knowing whether.
I know I brought this up last time we talked about Logan, but every time I listen to this record, I can't help but think about Elvis. Like, it's like the baritone of his voice. I don't know if anybody else is making that comparison, but that's what I hear.
Definitely. I mean, his voice is just very deep. And I just really, I don't know, that song, this whole record, it's hard. It's hard to, like, for me to explain. It just kind of hits all the feelings for me. It's just great music. It's fun to listen to.
Yeah.
The arrangements that are in this song, the record, are great. And it's kind of that song, Golden State. Really, when I listen to it, it's just like, I think of California immediately. It's just got that kind of California sound to me. I don't know. Great record.
That's awesome. I think what I'm finding actually pretty cool about going through this is we've picked completely different records, but there's been some similarities with our picks. So my number one pick was Fruit Bats and their record, A River Running to Your Heart. And for similar reasons to why you picked Logan, is it just hit like all the feels. It just like, the feeling of it was just like, this captured my emotional state. And I think when you think about this record, it feels like very California too.
Definitely.
So I think that those two similarities is pretty fascinating to me. But yeah, so this record from Fruit Bats came out April 14th of 2023. He's had a bunch of records, and this is the first one that's cracked the top five for top spot for me. He is also in a side project called Bonnie Light Horseman. Their debut album definitely made my top five when that was released. So love the side project as well. And I believe they're continuing to make music. So, but I think this record, he just fully hit his stride as Fruit Bats. And let's actually have Stuart. Gosh, so hard to pick which song here. Stuart, why don't we play Waking Up in Los Angeles?
But at least there's still the sky above, and you still have the feeling of waking up in Los Angeles. Waking up in Los
Just a perfect vibe of a record, really. And yeah, another I don't know if you knew this, Chris, but Fruit Bats is like a nerdy tidbit, not about this record necessarily, but he came out with a record covering Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream in its entirety.
Yes. Awesome.
Which we have talked about, I think the first year of our podcast, we talked about that record and how
might have been special one of those.
Yeah. I think that was the first one with Corey, believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was one of the first two or three, I think.
Yeah. And yeah. So that's an important record for us. So obviously, yeah. Now that I think of, I never thought of Fruit Bats with Smashing Pumpkins. And now that I have heard that record, I was, oh man, he sounds so much like Billy Corgan.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm going to have to give that a listen.
But yeah, that was my top pick. So good. And another nerdy tidbit, the person behind Fruit Bats is Eric D. Johnson. And another fun nerdy tidbit for you is he actually took a sabbatical from Fruit Bats and spent time as a member of the Shins with James Mercer.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, either did I. I just came across that the other day. I was like, oh, but yeah, he's had music from Fruit Bats, I think, since the early or the late, like 1999, I think might've been his like first, or 2001 maybe. So it's pretty wild how long he's been making music, and I think he just wrote his best record yet, at least in my opinion.
Cool. I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah,
that totally passed my radar. I didn't even know it came out with another record.
Yeah,
cool.
I like spin that one on vinyl. I got like the kind of matches the album artwork. It has like a blue, white marble color vinyl because we're suckers for the color vinyl.
Yep.
So that's a favorite of mine to put on the record player for sure.
Cool.
I think we did it, man.
Yeah, that was fun. Got to kind of talk about some records that kind of surprised me that I enjoyed them as much as I did. It was kind of fun to kind of go back and think about which albums I listened to the most.
Yeah. Yeah. I always enjoy reflecting and learning about what music that you've listened to. Cause I obviously learn a lot and love your music taste.
Likewise.
So appreciate you spending this time with me.
Yeah, definitely. I had a nice time. It's trying not make it 4 months in between episodes.
Yes. Yeah, there's I have an inkling. I already know like a top five record that's coming out this month. that is probably going to be a top record of 2024. So that might be a good one. Maybe go back to old format, talking about one album.
That'd be fun.
Might be one we can go to, but we'll definitely hope to try to do this a little bit more often. If Stuart doesn't take as many sabbaticals, we might make it happen.
Yeah, I think he's kind of done traveling for a little bit. I think he's got to get rid of that, you know, sunburn. Let it, yeah. you know, calm down a little bit with the traveling. Maybe help us out a little bit, you know. He is right. The intern after all.
Yeah, I heard he's having some car troubles too. So I think he's probably stuck at home for a bit until he can get back on the road. He's gonna have to work some to be able to fix that car up of his. So
yeah, and everyone, he is a paid intern. Okay.
Yeah.
Or you jump on us.
Yeah, we don't even get paid. He's definitely a free intern. Dude, this is a non-for-profit.
Yeah, nobody's supposed to know that. He works. He gets paid, okay?
Not by us.
No, not by us. He's got people. Another job. Well, I really enjoyed this. This was nice to get back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, make sure everyone go find us wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know, if you listen this far, you've figured that out. So check out some of our old episodes. Give us a nice rating, or no rating at all is fine too. We're cool with that. We're not making money here. So whatever you want to do, it doesn't make a difference to us.
Yeah. Leave a review. Don't leave a review.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Follow us on Instagram. Don't follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, whatever.
But if you listen all the way to this part of the podcast, you should just follow us on Instagram.
You might as well.
Yeah.
Go show us some support, please. We'd love it.
Until next time, I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we're Album Worms.